going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
How about that? Gamesmanship. Out of Elliot Wolf. It's Peter Schrager yesterday on McAfee. His mock came out earlier today. We'll give you some thoughts on that, but I like that. So Wolf wasn't the GM then.
No.
He's not the GM now.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, Schrags.
In fact, Schrager even said it. He was the number two in Cleveland. He's the number two now. Schrager just told you he's the number two. If you had any doubt, and I had held that up before, I haven't had it for a while. If you had any lingering doubt, Wolf is not in control of New England. Schrager just said it. So... interesting, because they couldn't figure out the draft pick a couple of years ago when it was Baker Mayfield and not Sam Darnold.
But is he also like announcing that Wolf was his source?
Well, good point.
Because like you can't trust it. It's like, well, you can't trust him. Or maybe that is the guy that he wanted, but he didn't have say.
Good point, Shregs. What are you doing? You're out in your source.
You're throwing us out there. They're like, oh, you can't trust Elliot Wolf? It's like, all right, you can't trust Elliot Wolf. They talk to somebody else in there.
Do you think, I mean, right now, most of the mock drafts, Schrager included, have Will Campbell going four to the Patriots.
Not only that, Terp put up on the, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, you could see.
The odds?
The odds.
What is it now? It was like minus
575.
So I was
going to
say, it was minus 500 something
That's
yesterday.
That's pretty staggering.
No, it is. But, okay, where do you think those odds come from? I mean, there might be some specific intel there. I don't rule out that
Vegas
has intel.
I think as we're getting closer to it, the odds for the three picks ahead of them are also getting pretty weighted. Like, I think teams... you know, whether they're being truthful or not, Vegas feels like they have a read on the top three picks. So then I think it probably comes down to what they're hearing out of New England and then also, like, giant need. I think that's a big part of it, too.
I would agree.
Those odds are iffy, though, because if you guys remember a couple years ago, Will Levis flew up to the top overall pick.
These odds are wonky, for sure.
I admittedly am riding the fence on this one because I want to believe them when they make my case. I don't want to believe them when they don't. And so, you know, I do tend to put stock in these numbers. And it seems like Will Campbell, he is the heavy favorite to go fourth overall. And I agree. Some of what you just said, Keith, is why. Ward's going one, Hunter's going two, Carter's going three. That's the consensus. And so what do the Patriots need it for? It's Will Campbell.
Yeah, Hunter's minus 900 to go two.
Yeah, he's going two.
Cam Ward's minus like 20,000. Abdul Carter is minus 650.
I'm not sold on that one either. So I'm not just
Carter
playing games.
At three?
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. I mean, if you're asking me to pick, I would probably pick that.
Sucker's bet or is it a buying opportunity?
Keep scrolling down to five. It's Genty at five now, right? It is.
Yeah, but minus 125 is where you get into like
that's a coin toss.
Almost a pick 'em.
But, you know, Jeremiah said it the other day. Schrager had it today. Schrager has a notoriously accurate mock. He said one of the things he got wrong, ironically, was the number one pick. Seems like a big one to blow.
Darnold went three that year?
Yep, a few years ago. And so is it possible, Keith, that all the mock drafts are off? The books are off.
Yeah.
Will Campbell's a heavy favorite at four right now, minus five whatever it is to go four. And the Patriots are playing games, and they're tight-lipped, and because the Browns front office pulled it off before with Elliot Wolf when he wasn't in power, is it possible some of that's going on?
Oh, yeah.
They have a curveball up their sleeve that we don't see coming.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Well, you don't think so?
I mean...
I think there is, because I also don't think as much as...
believe it, but I'm not really sure I believe it right now, no. No, I want to believe it.
But I think... if 1-2-3 is chalk, then maybe four will be as well. But there's three teams ahead of you that could also throw a curveball at you. Like Cam Ward, we assume is going one.
That's what
but what
need.
The hell happens if he doesn't?
That's what we need.
Like what kind of scramble mode do teams go in if he's not number one?
We need that. I've been texting with a buddy of mine, Breck. Giants
How
fan.
How about that?
And he's like, anybody but Shadur at three. He's like, I don't even care. Just anybody but Shadur. But that's what we need. We need Shadur to go three.
I still go back to Cleveland and New York desperately needs a quarterback. New York does have two pass rushers. Now, Abdul Carter might be the best player available there at three for them. And like that would probably be the smart pick long term. But that's one position they kind of have.
Schrager's been on TV today saying they like Dart. Now, his mock draft, they have him training in and taking him in the 20s.
Yeah, you might be able to get him later.
But they like Dart. Jeremy Fowler, more smoke to Will Campbell.
All right.
ESPN, several industry sources believe the Patriots have an affection for LSU offensive tackle Will Campbell. This is the guy I do not want.
You don't want Will Campbell.
That's the opposite of affection.
I'll take him.
Assuming Hunter and Carter are off the boards, that's a big caveat.
It is.
Campbell would represent a safe pick for New England at four. Word is new coach Mike Vrabel is high on him. Mm. Campbell would provide New England a chance to establish its identity across the O-line for quarterback Drake May. Again, that's Jeremy Fowler at ESPN. You want what Schrager had today?
Yeah, sure.
Schrager says Campbell is smart, tough, dependable, and a leader in a position of great need. I'd debate that. He might not.
Well, it is a position of great need. You can't debate that part.
Well, is he going to play the position of great
need? Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
He's going to play at first.
Left tackle.
He might get demoted, but he's going to be a
left tackle. Is a position of great need. Can he play it? I mean,
that's the whole conundrum. Yeah, yeah.
He might not be built like Hall of Famer Orlando Pace, but the Patriots would be getting a day one starter and a culture guy on the offensive line. He has Ward, Hunter, Carter, Campbell, Genty, Membu, Warren, Walker, Williams, Loveland in a trade for the Colts at 10. Other players of note, he has Mason Graham dropping to 13 to the Dolphins. He has Teterow McMillan dropping to 19 with the Bucks. Shadur Sanders at 21 to the Steelers. And then, as we just told you, Jackson Dart going 26 in a trade up for the Giants with the Rams.
Do you want to hear a story that might make you feel better about Will Campbell?
Please. Wait. Oh, I thought you meant better about the Patriots not picking him at four.
No, about Will Campbell, because they're probably going to take him.
Is it going to make...
Yeah.
From high school?
Yeah.
I saw this story,
so,
yes.
From The Ringer. So, Will Campbell didn't dress for a high school playoff game his senior year because of a pulled groin.
Soft.
His team was losing.
Uh-huh.
So, he got dressed under the stadium at halftime and asked to enter the game in the third quarter. He told his dad and coach, quote, just let me go one drive and see how I feel.
So here's,
and then I didn't come out, and they won the game. Uh-huh. It's like when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime of the Bourbon Bowl and led the SCLSU Mud Dogs to a Bourbon Bowl victory. This is exactly like that. And you'd take Bobby Boucher at four.
Yeah, I would.
Holy smokes.
I'd take him at one.
He had like 15 sacks in the game.
No, I mean, you took the words out
Bobby
of my mouth.
Bobby Boucher should have been the number one pick. Will Campbell hurt, pulled his groin. I started that story. I'm like, this doesn't make me feel any better. But then he inserted himself into that game.
There's so
they
much
ignored
I need
the doctor.
Have a throwing touchdown.
Ooh.
Bobby Boucher does have a throwing touchdown.
No, I mean, we're no one's saying we're taking Campbell over Bobby Boucher.
No.
Bobby Boucher is one
of the great guys.
We're just saying this is like, it's Bobby Boucher like.
It's similar to Bobby
Boucher. Remember when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl?
That was Will Campbell in high school. And they won that game. Put me in for one drive. Run behind me, coach.
I didn't read the full takeout at The Ringer. They tend to be verbose.
They have a
so
lot
did
to
they,
say.
What was the score at halftime? Were they down like 1 point?
It's
were they running behind him the whole game, or did he just happen
that
to be,
information wasn't
just happened to be
available
on the field? Yeah. Was his team supposed to win by like three touchdowns? Were they like the way better team?
He gave up 9 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like there's. I would love to know a little bit more about what happened in the game, but okay, I'm led to believe he's super tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was able to rough up some high schoolers as a left tackle. Good for him. I don't doubt that he can dominate as a left tackle in high school. I don't doubt that he could
Do you ever
dominate.
Pull your groin in high school?
Well, it's my normal Friday night. he dominated as a left tackle in college.
Yeah. He's a left tackle.
I have questions if he can dominate even do it at the next level.
I know.
I hear you. Interesting stuff.
But I think that swayed a lot of people, that story.
It did.
I think they're in on Will Campbell. You might want to update your love-hate vote now
too late.
Campbell.
Unfortunately, too late. If there's anybody hanging on to Elliot Wolf that he's in charge and has a role and you still believe in him, the Wolfpack there, Keith, if there's any of that... We're going to play for you coming up the moment Elliot Wolf lost any power in New England.
Yes.
We're gonna do that coming up.
It's long. Or actually, we're probably coming up on the one-year anniversary.
Very close to it.
When he's
very, very close to it. Let's take some phone calls, though, in the meantime. Bunchy waiting patiently. Let's go to Daniel in Dallas. Hello, Daniel.
Yep, loud and clear.
All right.
What on earth?
Now, this is the second day in a row this has happened with Daniel.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get a lot of calls.
Is that
from
Morse code? Which I can't really on the fly decipher.
It's the second day in a row that we've attempted to go to Daniel.
Yeah.
And just not ready to go, not there.
Do you think he's really, really deep in the ground or really, really high in the air? Something ain't right.
Would you rather go to space or the bottom of the ocean?
Hey, wait till 11:30.
I'm a spaceman.
I'm a water guy.
You're a water man.
Yeah, I'm a water man.
Barry's in New
Bedford. I'm an oil man.
What's up, Barry?
Hey guys. I'm with you, Jones on Campbell. I'm out. I've been out for a while. It's not the arm length that's the issue. It's the wingspan. A tackle has to have an 80-plus wingspan. Campbell's is way below. It's even below Peter Skoronowski, who Vrabel took a few years ago out of Northwestern and instantly kicked inside because he knew he couldn't play tackle. We're back here again. I think Vrabel's the only guy that wants Campbell. I believe Elliot Wolf and maybe some of the scouts in that room are probably saying, listen, we don't think he can play tackle. So let's either try to trade back or take another prospect. I just don't see Campbell being a tackle in the NFL with that type of upper body and wingspan. It's never happened before. You have guys in the NFL with 32-inch arms, but you have that wingspan above 80, which compensates for the short arms. He has a small man's body for a guy 6'6".
Okay. It's Skoronski in Tennessee.
What about like Joe Staley and Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater? Well, what are their wingspans?
I don't know. You gotta take him for his word, I guess, or Google them. Yeah, give me a Joe Staley wingspan or a Penei Sewell.
I don't think they measure wingspan.
Okay.
Arm length.
Those guys moved to right tackle, by the way.
Joe Staley, 33.5.
Yeah, it's arm length.
Yeah, well, I don't see wingspan. He's talking wingspan. Yeah. I got your 10-yard split. I got a 3-cone drill here.
No, not
you want a bench press?
Not handspan.
Broad jump?
We should have measured.
You want his 3-cone drill? I have that. I don't have his wingspan.
We should have measured Marcelo Meyer's handspan when he was friend of the show hanging out with us.
Oh, my God.
In Worcester.
I don't think we had a tape measure big enough. Guy's got mitts, got paws on him, Marcelo Meyer.
The meat hooks on that guy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Let's mix in a call on the Bruins. Kevin and Stoughton, hello. Kevin, hello.
Hello.
Kevin. Hey.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I actually wanted to talk about the Bruins. I was listening earlier to talk about the high winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if they have such a high winning percentage, why do they keep getting rid of coaches who are actually coaching the team that gives them the high winning percentage?
Good point.
Great point,
it's
Kevin.
It's like we're sitting here bragging about Don Sweeney's winning percentage. We fired Cassidy.
We're about to hire our fourth coach, but we have the best winning percentage. So basically that's
a tremendous point.
It is a great question. So that is...
How much of that was from that one season?
Well, they had a couple of President's Cups, I think. They had the one record-breaking year.
Uh-huh.
I think they had another first place finish, didn't they? But either way... That is a good question. So basically...
Hang on. Don Sweeney has a .665 regular season winning percentage. I'm going to look up Cassidy and Monty right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they got to all be similar, but...
Dude, Cassidy's probably better. He's been better the last 2 years in Vegas.
He's probably high. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to look up in Boston. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like overall. I'm like, yeah, both those guys
keep going.
Have done all right. But so That's a great point. So they're great in the regular season. You're congratulating yourselves for that. And then you're putting all of the playoff losses on the coaches, evidently.
Yeah. Cassidy, 672, higher. Hang on. Okay. I'm sure Monty was higher. Let me keep looking it up.
I think he was in the close to 700. Yeah.
Well, it has to be because
the 1 year.
Because the Sacco losses go on Sweeney's record, mm-hmm. not on the other guys. So it has to be worse. The coaches are better.
This is Jim Montgomery playing career?
Yeah, let's get in there. Hang on, University of Maine. I don't know if we need to dig that far deep.
All right, hang on.
No, that's should have been a question asked at the press conference, which I'm sure was not.
Oh, I'm sure they were right about to get to it, I'm sure. He was 715. So Don Sweeney has a 665 regular season win percentage. They're trumpeting that. It's
but
the
what
highest
about
in the
Monty's
league
and
since
Cassidy?
He came in.
That's a great one.
Cassidy's 672, slightly higher. Monty's 715. And by the way, I had no problem with them firing Cassidy or Montgomery. Zero. I think Montgomery, they were right to fire in retrospect. Cassidy's more questionable.
Oh, Cassidy, I did not like. I did not like Cassidy. Montgomery was fine. Julian was the right call.
I had zero problem firing any of those guys. None.
Cassidy,
so the point isn't that they shouldn't have fired Monty. The point is, how are they going to turn around and reference regular season winning percentage?
No, that's foolish.
When they've fired coaches with better winning percentages than Don Sweeney, great point.
The reason I didn't like the Cassidy firing was I didn't think he was the problem. And two, it was you were siding with Jake DeBrusk. Like, it's one thing if Bergeron and
Carlo
and Tuca
and
all these guys, if
like,
the best players, like, we don't want them. You're like, all right, that's sports. You got to get on with it. Mm-hmm. But your second-line guy that, like, you hope runs into 20 goals is like, he's mean to me. Like, okay, maybe don't side with that guy. Who you also didn't even keep long-term? He's not even on the team anymore?
Let's see. Is that press conference still going? I'm trying to see our pal DJ Bean.
Yeah.
Is tweeting out that Kevin Paul Dupont is doing God's work. So maybe we got to grab some of that in retrospect if Dupes is really going at him. I've been waiting to see if we have any updates on Swayman from that press conference today. We just took the opening comments.
Apparently, Will Campbell's wingspan,
yeah, give me
77 and 3/8 inches. We got a text that said that. Now this I don't know. This I'm taking from the texter, mm-hmm. which I assume is spot on.
Oh, that got to be right. Yeah.
NFL average is 82,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be the shortest wingspan since 1999. Is that true?
Not
I didn't
great.
Know that.
Okay, me neither.
So that means he has short arms, but also like a thin chest, right? Because if you're doing wingspan, it's the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Right. Tip to tip. So
this guy's got a little bit of a.
Your tip to tip.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So these other guys, maybe Penei Sewell's got like a wide chest.
Yeah.
Which would add to the wingspan?
That doesn't really seem fair.
What do you mean?
You're wide-chested? That really adds
to the wingspan.
Yeah,
you
could
have short arms, but you could have like an enormous wingspan. Wow. I didn't know about that.
How about that? Do you want to adjust your list? You have time to adjust your list?
Yeah.
Players you don't want, your hate love?
No, it's set in stone at this point. It's set in stone.
Irons are in the fire.
But what do you think about all the players that are like, arm length doesn't matter? Didn't David Andrews say that at Fitzy's beer event?
Yeah, I'm sure David Andrews probably doesn't think arm length doesn't matter because I bet he didn't have long arms. But guess what? You're a center and you were undrafted. And that's probably the reason.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think it's so fraudulent. You know, people point to Matt Light as a short arm tackle. Well, A, he had longer arms than this guy. B, he was a second round pick. And also, he's kind of what we were talking about. He was a Pro Bowler a handful of times.
Hmm.
I'm not sure he was ever all pro.
Who are you talking about?
Matt Light.
Oh, yeah.
People reference Mankins, too. They're like, well, Mankins had short arms. Yeah, he was a guard. He was a college tackle who moved to guard. This is the point.
Mm.
When they drafted Matt Light, Matt Light fell to the second round. He wasn't the fourth pick.
Four overall is a different story.
Matt Light fell to the second round because people thought he may have to kick inside. They were wrong.
Who do you
think? But that was at pick, like, 50. That's way different than pick 4.
Oh, definitely. Who do you think is the best left tackle in the draft?
I think it's Simmons out of Ohio State.
Okay.
Whose arms are not, you pointed this out, are not much longer, but they do meet the thresholds. They do meet the cutoffs, which this guy doesn't.
No.
But I think it's Simmons. But my real answer is
33 on the nose.
Yeah, I don't think
so
there's...
So same arm length as Will Campbell's pro day.
Yeah, his fake measurement, yes. not the combine measurement.
I stretched him out a little bit.
His fake measurement,
yeah.
You're right.
He was short-armed.
The real answer is I don't think there's a franchise left tackle in this draft, but the one I would roll the dice on is Simmons.
But
I wouldn't do it at 4. I'd do it in the 20s.
Yeah, if you did it at 38 or 28, if you traded up.
Yeah.
I get it. No, I mean, you don't want to have to reach at number 4. You shouldn't have to do that.
Reach.
Get it? Pun in your face, Will Campbell.
Nailed it.
I'm your biggest critic.
Let me.
I didn't know about this wingspan thing.
Yeah, no, we got one whole more day to research it.
Yeah.
let me hear the moment, just in case there was any doubt.
Oh, this is...
Because we probably know the moment. You probably have an idea of the moment that Elliot Wolf lost his job effectively,
yep.
was demoted, mm-hmm. ticketed for a demotion, out. But have you actually heard it? This is Joe Hortiz, the GM of the Chargers, and you'll hear him briefly talking to Jim Harbaugh, the coach. They're on the other side of the phone with Elliot Wolf, working the phones for the pick that eventually became Ladd McConkey. The Patriots, of course, got Jalen Polk and Javon Baker on the other side.
That's a tough go.
So listen to this. It's a good back and forth because Elliot Wolf is initially strong. He initially rebuffs the trade.
Of course he is.
And then he caves. Folds like a cheap suit. Here's the exchange.
Steve, it's for Richard.
They're calling me.
Who?
No one.
Okay.
See what they will give. Hey, you guys interested in that? You want to do it or you... No.
All right. Interested?
They wanted to know what side of the ball we're picking. I'm not going to tell them.
Who was that?
No, for us trading.
So timeout. So he goes.
Yeah, so we're in the Chargers war room right
now. They want to know what side of the ball we're picking on. He's like, I'm not telling them.
Yeah.
So Wolf is trying to play hardball. He's like, tell me what side you're picking.
Who are you taking? Like, we're not telling you that. What? Position. I'm not telling you that.
What side of the ball?
I'm not telling you any of that.
Offense or defense? And so Wolf's playing hardball. He's like, no.
He's like, they're not going to get it.
Then you don't get our pick.
Patriots are going to have an opportunity to then draft a guy.
A few moments later.
Yeah.
New England for us trading up. How much time? 34 and 137 for 37 and 110. All right. Give me two. Just hold on. Yep, I know. Hold on. It's the one we talked about, going back from 110 to 137, going up and getting Ladd.
Well, yeah. So we do it?
All right. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, let's do it. You there? We got a deal? All right, man.
Okay.
Ladd McConkey.
We're going up and getting Ladd. He, like, puts him on mute. He's like, we're taking Ladd.
Yeah, we're taking Ladd McConkey.
And then they go up and get him.
Right off the rip.
Not only did Elliot Wolf make a bad trade, he got boxed around on it on top of it. he got bullied by the guy on the other side. So Hortiz, a rookie GM at the time, I think he was in his first year with the Chargers. Boxed around. And just that, you know, okay, fine, take our pick. They were so desperate to trade out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, please, take our pick. They folded on top
Jeepers.
Of it. So that's probably where he lost his job.
Yeah, not great.
But Peter Schrager will tell you, hard guy to read. When it comes to who they're taking, hard guy to
read. Don't listen to him.
Don't.
Have him not be your source then.
So maybe.
Yeah.
There's a curveball coming from the Pats tomorrow. I doubt it, but maybe. 617-779-7937. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday. Here on Jones and Keefe, we'll get you some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy Lane.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knix Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.